Welcome to Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Capsarnas.
Thanks for your company. Peter Capsarnas with you on another edition of Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Today we're going to be talking about beer, beer and more beer. And joining us in the studio today is Jamie Ryan, the WA Sales Director of Lion. Jamie, good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Peter. Looking forward to it.
Now, look, Jamie, a bit of news this week around the West End Brewery in South Australia. Apparently, we're moving on to New South Wales, and the West End Brewery was tasked with brewing a couple of well-known WA brands, Emu Export, which I still love, and Swan Draft. Seems we're getting more and more further away from WA. What's the current state of play in the landscape there, Jamie?
It's a pretty tough time for our organisation yesterday and for the people of South Australia and our team in South Australia that had to go through the news that we are closing West End Brewery. Our heart really does go out to the 90 individuals that are going to be displaced there. Some of them have worked at the brewery for 30 plus years. So for some of them, they started there as their first job, and it's going to finish there for them in June next year. First and foremost, our priority is to look after our people and make sure our people are right. Second to that, then we look at what the options are for our brands. And obviously, you mentioned WA and Emu Export being the number one packaged beer brand in WA, very important for this marketplace. And Swan Draft being a massive draft beer brand in this market, as well as a substantial pack beer as well. So we're just working through what that means from where we do produce those brands, and they'll head to the East Coast, and Tui's is a likely brewery there, but we're just working through that at the moment. What we do know is both those breweries have produced both Swan and Emu for us in the past, even more so recently when we just had our cyber attack that you may recall. We had to call on all of our brewing network to help us get out of that. So we know that our breweries can produce any of the beer that we make anywhere in any site across the country. So we're very confident that we're more than capable to produce those brands for this marketplace.
It sounds like it's a pure case of economics, really, and making things more efficient, dare I say it. And I'm guessing COVID hasn't helped.
Definitely commercial realities. I guess if you look at the overall beer market, you know, beer's in a pretty sort of flat market. You know, globally it's been in decline, and in this marketplace as well over the years. Also just the impacts of how brewing has actually, the technology's increased. And with that, our bigger breweries have been able to increase their capability. And that also puts pressure on the smaller breweries, because West End was only at 50% capacity. So at some point in time, you've got to look to the bigger breweries to take on more of the work. And unfortunately, you know, West End's going to go through that period now where you know, they'll move on to a new chapter.
Those 90 individuals that you mentioned were in South Australia at West End. Would there be any chance of deployment or redeployment to New South Wales, or are you still sort of working it out?
Definitely that's stuff that you have to look at, you know, on an individual and a case-by-case basis. And, you know, 90 is a large number, and, you know, I can't speak for what's going to happen over there for all of the individuals, but we know that we'll definitely look after them, because that's, you know, it's the way our organisation does look after our people. So
I think it was a 160-year-old brewery, is that right?
160 years last year. So it is very much the lifeblood of Adelaide and South Australia. It's situated not far out of the city, so a lot of people are familiar with West End and what it does for the community. But look, West End will come back in some way, shape or form in the future.
Let's talk about you and your role with Lion. You've been with the company for around 15 years. What attracted you to work in the, let's call it, the beverage industry?
Well, as a young bloke, Peter, I was fond of visiting the odd bar or two. I still remember many a day of a Sunday session at the OBH. So, you know, and I'm sure plenty of people listening to this have experienced that as well.
And for our interstate friends, the OBH is the Ocean Beach Hotel in Cottesloe on the West Coast.
Yeah.
A very favourite haunt for many.
It's an institution, so I'm not going to say that it was the Ocean Beach Hotel that actually drew me into this industry, but I managed to get some experience working across different retailers and hoteliers in my younger years. And, you know, then I explored the retail channel and spent a number of years with the Coles Liquor Group, both here in WA, and then state sales manager for SA and NT. And then at a point in time, just over 15 years ago, before I joined Lion, I made the decision to return home to WA, and have never looked back really since since joining Line. Really enjoy it.
Okay. What do you like most about working in the liquor industry? And it'd be easy to assume that, well, it's tasting the liquor, but I guess it's more than that, isn't it? Almost like a family in the end, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I don't think there's another industry that comes close to it. I think the people is what makes our industry so special. And whether we're talking with retailers or hoteliers or even consumers, and definitely the fellow suppliers amongst our industry, it really is an industry that people set this apart. You know, we could be working in a completely different industry, but none of them would be as much fun or as engaging or enjoyable as working within the liquor industry.
Okay, before we go on, talk to me through some of the brands, the identifiable brands that are under the Lion umbrella. We mentioned Emu Export and Swan Draft. I think you also referred to Tui's earlier on. What else are there?
Yeah, we've got a broad portfolio, basically a portfolio to cater for every consumer need. Everything from market-leading craft brands with James Squire and Little Creatures, and some smaller brands such as Panhead, more emerging ones such as Brooklyn. And then obviously look at Classic, as you mentioned, Swan and Emu are two market-leading brands in WA, and one of the country's biggest brands in Forex, so Forex Gold, a massive brand in WA and obviously across the country. And then contemporary brands such as Hahn, Tui's fall into that play. And international premium portfolio, so Heineken being our lead international premium brand, along with Guinness and Kilkenny, which are quite unique brands as well. So not to mention the cider category as well. And have recently just entered the ginger beer market with James Squire Ginger Beer.
It's mainly covering Australia and New Zealand, isn't it? And it's a local oceanic, shall we say, company as opposed to foreign company.
Yeah, look, we very much operate in Australia and New Zealand. They are two different business units. However, we do get the synergies of having both of the organisations working closely together. We do fall under the Kieran umbrella. So, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, Lion reports through to Kieran. But we do also have another exciting channel, which is our Lion Global Markets channel. So that's where we've taken some of our great Australian brands and placed them overseas, such as Little Creatures in Singapore, Little Creatures in Hong Kong, Little Creatures in the UK. So we're sort of taking the best of Australia and taking it to the world.
For those who may not be aware, but Little Creatures started off Fremantle's, a very small operation in Western Australia. But Lion was always an investor from the beginning, but it didn't really publicise it at the time.
Lion's always played a role to help, I guess, Little Creatures to where it's gotten to. You can't take it away from the founders. They did an amazing job. Little Creatures celebrates its 20th anniversary this year, so a really important time for the brand to recognise it, you know, 20 years from the days when it was the Crocodile Park to now being the exciting facility that it is down at Fremantle.
Talking about the challenges the industry is facing at the moment, where's the market? Where are the challenges? And what are our drinking habits and behaviours like compared to when you first entered the industry?
If you look at it on an Australian scale, it's very much at the moment a two-speed economy. From what we're seeing and enjoying in WA, we're quite fortunate with how our government has managed COVID, so that we are pretty much almost back out and enjoying some sort of normality.
Are you
and
a Mark McGowan fan, Jamie? Is that what you're saying?
I think he's done a great job, to be honest. So I think most of West Australia would pretty much agree, because we are fortunate enough to be enjoying sort of living life almost as normal.
Well, you can tell him at our sundowner next month in November.
I look forward to it.
He'll be keynote speaker.
I don't think he'll shake my hand, but perhaps we'll tap elbows. But then you'll also have a flip side as you look at the other side of the country really do feel for our colleagues and everyone in Victoria who have spent 22 weeks in lockdown, and that will have a detrimental effect on no doubt businesses over there, which we're yet to see, and I'm sure we'll see the long-term effects of those types of things for years to come. So I think in WA we've been very fortunate. No doubt, you know, for all those Australian companies, it's had an impact. There are some states that have had benefit, and you know, WA being one of those.
Our behaviours, our patterns, our drinking habits. What are we drinking more of when it comes to beer? I mean, back in the day, you know, you had a choice of Export and Draft and maybe a VB. Now there's truckloads of choice. Do you think diversification is important?
Absolutely. I think diversification is. Innovation is super important. Innovation is the lifeblood of our category, so to have new products coming to market on a more regular basis is very important. It keeps consumers interested in the beer category. If we take a step back, and you mentioned, you know, a number of years ago, there was less choice, but that's how the consumer consumed product. They weren't looking for choice as much. Now that there is more choice, the consumers actually, their eyes have opened up and they're exploring. So what you have seen, even prior to COVID, there was definitely growth in the craft beer segment, but that's great, because that's actually bringing a lot of interest into the category. So, you know, from a beer point of view, it's getting a lot of eyes and a lot of talk and a lot of people speaking about beer, which is fantastic. It keeps that energy in the category. But we have probably seen through COVID, there has been a bit of a shift back to some of the more traditional and classic brands for a number of reasons. People are looking for brands that they can trust and they recognise and they know. And obviously there's been some, you know, people are perhaps taking a step away from the more higher end beers because of the challenges, you know, from a financial point of view that a number of the people, you know, number of West Australians are under at the moment.
The spend isn't there, perhaps.
Spend isn't there, and people are probably a little bit uncertain about, you know, what the future holds. So
absolutely.
They're looking for brands that they can trust.
I want to ask you shortly on what makes a good beer, the froth or whatnot, but the LSA obviously represents hundreds of brick and mortar liquor stores. How important, significant is that relationship?
Yeah, super important that the LSA, Liquor Stores Association, is there to represent, you know, us as a supplier, and I can't speak for the other suppliers, but I'm sure that many would agree that we have a seat at the table when required. You're there to represent our industry because at the end of the day, it's the community that provide us as suppliers and liquor store outlets as retailers with a license to operate. So without someone like the LSA to go into bat for us when required and to have that voice to work with suppliers and to work with the community and to work with the retailers the way that you do is super important because we wouldn't have the outcomes that you've been able to achieve without that, and we couldn't do it individually.
Talking about working with the community, Lion's working with other aspects of the community and community goodwill, if I can put it that way, when it comes to the containers for cash scheme. Worrell, the WA Recycle Renew Return organisation, not for profit. You're chair of that organisation. Am I allowed to say that?
No, I'm not chair, but I am fortunate enough to be one of the directors on the board. Lion, along with CCA, are founding members of Worrell, and with that, we do accept a couple of positions on the board there to help the organisation in its from its governments and steer the organisation. But the organisation Worrell does very much operate independently with its own CEO and own team that are highly capable. And I think with the challenges that team has faced with COVID coming in, delaying their start date to only just launch on October 1 to get where they had to has been an amazing job. And only this week, being 14 days in, they've just had 10 million containers pass through their collection points, which is an amazing result given that previously a lot of those would have gone into landfill.
Yeah. So the cash for containers, basically, as a beverage manufacturer, we as the LSA have trumpeted pretty loudly warning that, yes, we're supportive of this scheme, but just so you know, you might be paying a little bit more every time you go into your favourite liquor store to buy your carton of this or that or your favourite beverage because of the scheme. That message seems to be getting out and about, but more equally and more importantly, obviously, is people's and consumers' moves and habits to collect and recycle and renew. And they get 10 cents for each eligible container. Was it a no-brainer to be involved with Worrell in setting up this scheme?
Oh, look, as a producer, we have a responsibility to ensure that we can have a sustainable supply chain the whole way through from end to end. So in a marketplace that doesn't have the container deposit scheme or legislation, majority of the time those containers can end up in landfill. So we'd much rather see those containers recycled sustainably so that there is an end-to-end supply chain. So we do have a responsibility as a supplier to ensure that we can keep our industry sustainable and avoid things being and containers being put into landfill or rubbish.
You undoubtedly sell a lot of beer, if I can put it that way. What makes a good beer? I know you're not a brewer.
Fantastic brewers make the good beer, so have to give all credit to our brewing team and to all the brewers that are out there that do listen to this. I mean,
what are people looking for though? What are consumers looking for in terms of the taste, the hops and whatnot, the taste of the ale? I mean, are our palates so wide and spread, or is there kind of a generic kind of formula?
I think that's why you find there's so many beer products out there in the marketplace, Peter, is because each consumer has a different style that they like or a different need or a different taste that they're looking for. Some are looking for more easy drinking classic style beer brands that they're more sessionable, and you've got another side that are looking for something that's a little bit more challenging, perhaps with, you know, more hops, and now you're starting to see people branching out into fruit driven beers and different flavours and you know, different styles of hops, different IBUs. So things are a little bit more challenging, perhaps, maybe not as sessionable, but you know, they're definitely looking for that style of beer. And I think that's what keeps our industry exciting, because you look around the corner and then there's something new that's coming down the road. It definitely is that the innovation, as I mentioned earlier, is super important for our category, and that's what's keeping consumers, keeping them engaged with our beer category. So hence a broad portfolio. We have a portfolio there to cater for just about every consumer need.
It's interesting though that every season or two something comes out as part of the innovation strategy that you mentioned, but are they still on the market, or do they fade off when something new comes in? Because when we look at your TUIs, your Forex, your export draft, they are mainstays.
Absolutely.
Irrespective of the change of times, yeah, technology, etc. So why do you think you've got those traditional mainstays, yet there still seems to be an appetite that may or may not stay for the new kids on the block, so to speak?
Yeah, look, I mean, building brands does take a very long time. You can't build them overnight, and hence, you know, you referenced some of the brands in our portfolio. You know, Emu Export has been produced since 1954, so it does take time to build brands for the marketplace. Little Creatures, just over 20 years, and now that's getting to a sizable brand. So brand investment, you know, to ensure that that does cut through to the consumer. So then by no means are they an overnight runaway success. Some certainly are, and that's fantastic, but others do take time to mature. And then also, depending on the life cycle of the consumer and where they're at, their needs change and their styles change. So there is that sort of that need to be able to cater for those different opportunities.
When we talk about brands and we talk about stuff that's not beer, Lion is now releasing, with summer literally just around the corner, a seltzer.
The most exciting brand on the planet, Peter, if I'm going to be honest, and we are super excited about being able to launch White Claw into the
White
Australian
Claw
market. So White Claw Hard Seltzer launched on the 12th of October into the Australian market.
Okay, so what is it?
So White Claw is a hard seltzer. So it is, put it simply, it's a sparkling water with alcohol and fruit flavours.
So is this another vodka cruiser, Bacardi breezer kind of lolly water type of thing, or is this a lot more different?
A lot different. You know, when you look at the trends that are happening around the globe.
It was a rhetorical question, by the way. I wasn't having a dig. Just so we're clear, Jamie.
Definitely is a lot different. So White Claw and seltzers do set themselves apart from the traditional RTDs, and that typically comes back to the fact that they are, you know, we are talking the ingredients are sparkling water, spirit, and flavour. So, you know, fruit flavour. So there is benefits that come with that, such as, you know, no carbs or two carbs in White Claw, less than 95 calories, gluten-free.
Wow.
Easy to drink. The flavour's amazing. You add all of those up and it definitely does have the benefits versus those sugary RTDs that are currently on the marketplace.
Right. So you've got different flavours, lime.
Lime, mango and ruby grapefruit at the moment. Okay. We've launched in the Australian market, and over time, who knows, there could be more. If you look at what's happened in other markets, and White Claw's been in the US for the past 5 years and has been an absolute success. You know, Australia does, you know, somewhat, if you look at other categories, does follow the US with consumer trends. But sparkling water prior to that was also a growth category. So if you have to look at that and then take the seltzers were emerging, and then you launch White Claw, you end up with the product that they've got at the moment, which is grown exponentially in the US. Last year, it was bigger than some of the mainstream beers in the US market. And to give you an idea, the White Claw Seltzer was about the same size as the craft beer market in the US last year.
Right, okay.
So quite sizable.
What's the demo, roughly? What's the demographic that you're...
Yeah, looking for people like yourself, Peter, who like to hit the gym and like to look good and stay fit.
Oh,
and
good dad body, mean there.
So definitely does, for those probably, you know, 25 to 34-year-old, male and female, who I guess really conscious about what they're putting into their body. You know, they take the time to look after themselves. So those that want to, you know, I guess ensure that what they're putting into their body is going to have not so much of an impact as perhaps the sugary RTDs do. But White Claw really does set itself apart, because it is the, you know, the flavour and the product itself is what consumers around the world have gone after. So the brand, you know, stands for the wave. So the wave of refreshment when you drink the White Claw. So if you think of whenever you jump into the ocean and you hit that crest of the wave and it's quite refreshing, White Claw is going to give you that sort of that sort of buzz when you jump in the water.
I'm sold.
We launched in the US the last 5 years, and has only recently launched in the UK with runaway success, Ireland, the Netherlands, and now Australia being the fifth country for White Claw to launch. So really has set the world on fire, so to speak.
And it's available in most outlets now as we speak.
As we speak, stock is on trucks and heading out across the country to all good retail outlets, so they will have it. The demand has been overwhelming, both from a consumer point of view and from a customer point of view. So, yeah, we're going to have some challenges keeping up with that demand, because at the moment we import the product from the UK, and with that comes obviously shipping and lead time. So we're working through that to... At the moment, there's all sorts of shipping challenges if you look abroad. So we're just trying to... trying to make sure that we've got plenty to supply the Australian market for the summer of White Claw.
Will White Claw be on display at our Sundowner next month?
It certainly will. We do have a portion of stock, so my tip would be to get there early before it all goes.
Friday, November 6th, where Mark McGowan will be keynote speaker, and Lion are our proud sponsors of that event as well, I should note. Now, Jamie, before we wrap things up, what's the one thing you want our listeners to walk away with when they think about the Lion brand?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Pete. I guess for those that are listening out there, just to understand that our sales team are there to service them, to meet their needs where they possibly can, to work with them and to partner them as best that they possibly can, and that, you know, trust that the plans that we put together and the brands that we bring to the marketplace are ones that we put a lot of energy, time and research into to ensure that they capture the trends of the future. So hence, you know, like the White Claw, please, you know, get on board, get behind it. But it doesn't stop there. You know, innovation, as I said, super important. So, you know, just hope that they can partner us for the years to come with the innovative brands that we bring to the marketplace and really get behind them, because if they do that, then they'll reap rewards as well.
Well, I think it's been very insightful and personally educational, because I've discovered that you represent quite a broader portfolio, and that, you know, brands and labels that I easily recognise, I actually wasn't aware they were part of the Lion umbrella. So it's good to know. It's good to know that those Australian interests are still at heart as part of your core business. So it's good to see. Jamie Ryan, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Peter. Really enjoyed it. And thank you to the LSA for the opportunity.